Sorry, I'm not Pastor Nick. He is on a little bit of vacation, so I get to come and speak on Super Bowl Sunday. I can't think of a better Sunday to join and be a part of this series. And in case there's any curious question about who I'm rooting for today, this should tell you all you need to know. Let's go Seahawks, okay? Any Patriots fans in the building? Where are we at? I want to give you some Seahawks spirit. If you want this Lotus before you leave today, you can come grab it. Quick shout out to our Coffee Connection. They have special drinks for all you Seahawks fans. It's also supporting missions. So make sure you swing by, grab your 12th man Lotus today. Welcome for your little advertising spotlight. Hey, I'm so glad you're here today. I'm excited to continue the series on broken hearts today. I'm not going to hit the low-hanging fruit. Don't worry. I'm not going to talk about the last Super Bowl that was played between the Seahawks and Patriots and talk about broken hearts. Not going there. But the beauty of it is today we are continuing this series. If this is the first time you've joined us on a Sunday, I think you picked a great Sunday. And not just because the Seahawks are going to win the Super Bowl, but also because it's a great day to be in one of our gatherings. My name is Aaron, if I've not had the chance to meet you yet, and it really is an honor that you would be a part of one of our gatherings. This series has been a very intentional journey talking about the conversations of the heart. Where we've talked about guarding our heart, we've talked about forgiveness, we've talked about generosity. As a quick side note, there will be some more details coming out this week to celebrate. And let me tell you, it's worth celebrating what happened last week where we were able to take steps of generosity for someone in our own church family. Most of you know what I'm talking about. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. I want Pastor Nick to be able to celebrate that as he wants to do it. But I'm talking tens of thousands of dollars came in and kind of shocked all of us. So I'm excited to celebrate that. And so I want to say thank you for those of you who jumped in just to find a need and be generous in helping cover that need. And a car came in as well, which is rad. So I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to continue on. We talked about health in this series as well. And today, as I've already said, we're talking about the reality of broken hearts. Because here's the truth. No matter what your conversation is today, no matter what your story is today, we all come in with broken hearts because of the impact of one little word called sin. We are all broken. And it plays out in our lives in different ways. And I think it's really important to understand the power and the beauty of what God's love does and what is intended for in the midst of this conversation today with our broken hearts. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3. We'd love for you to turn there in your Bibles if you brought them. I know Pastor Nick says this all the time. Be someone who brings the Bible with you. And apps are great, but I do think there's something significant about having a physical Bible with me. I've tried to practice this as well, even though I've got all the smartphone apps and things like that. But would encourage you to turn there, Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation today. So if you've been a part of How to Study the Bible class and you grab one of these Bibles, this translation should fit the most recent version because the NIV study Bible is no longer in print. So as we jump in there, I've got a question for you. Anybody like chips and salsa? Some of you have already been eyeing the fact that I've had like this little bowl. I want to be as authentic as I could be. And where they bring out in one of my favorite Mexican restaurants here in Marysville, it's called Playa Bonita. If you haven't been to Playa Bonita, you should go. It's worth going to. No, we're not sponsored by Playa Bonita, but maybe they should. So if you're watching this, wherever you're at, hook us up. No, I'm just kidding. But one of the things I love about Playa, and this is most Mexican restaurants, what do? You show up, before they even bring waters out, what do they bring? Chips and salsa. Some of you are like, yeah, I'm ready for it. I did this last gathering. I'm not going to do it this gathering because it makes a problem when I'm trying to speak. But I love that they bring some salsa out. I love that they bring some chips out. My favorite thing is like the, not the hot, but the hot. Right? And the thing that I love most about this is before you even have a chance to think, you've already got something to munch on. Anybody with me? I love munching on chips and salsa. Before they bring your drinks out, anything you want to drink, before they bring the menu out, you're just chowing down. You're probably going on your second bowl of chips like I am typically. I'm a salt guy. I like to put a little bit of extra salt on it because it's really bad for my life. But I love it, right? And the problem with chips and salsa, here's the one downer, right? There's only one, and this is the only one. You can eat way too much of it. So you make your order. I'm a carne asada quesadilla kind of guy. No guacamole because that stuff is not worth it. I think it's of the devil. But I'm told when I first learned how to speak, they always say, get the audience on your side. And I've already drawn some lines this morning, I know. But I'm give me some sour cream, give me the quesadilla. But the problem is when I go through two of these things with other people, not just by myself, okay, I'm not that fat. But when I go through this, the problem is when they bring out my quesadilla, what happens? I'm not hungry anymore. Why? Because what I fill my stomach with matters and will directly impact my appetite for the better thing. If I'm comparing this to a carne asada quesadilla, quesadilla wins hands down. But the problem is I don't have control with this sometimes. And the same is true of our hearts. See, now you're like, oh, now I get it. I was wondering why there's chips and salsa. I told the first gathering, typically about the third gathering, I get kind of hungry. So I did this on purpose to help feed my stomach. I'm going to put that there so it doesn't get too soggy. But the truth of the matter is this. Much like chips and salsa at Playa Bonita, I can do the same conversation in my heart. Where if I'm filling my things with the wrong things, my heart is then too full to accept and be able to receive the things that God wants me to receive. Just like when I fill my stomach, the truth is also applicable to the conversation of our hearts today. When we talk about broken hearts, there are things that if we're not diligent with, we will fill our hearts with, to where when the love of God is in a place where we are able to receive it, we are not hungry for it, so we just continue on in the same cycle of brokenness we've been at every single moment. So today I think it's important not just to call out the chips and salsa because it's worth it, but to remind you and I today of our need for something greater than things that are not of God. Ephesians chapter 3 is where we're going to be today. And I want to read this passage. I think what Paul says about the love of God and the sheer magnitude and power of it is important for us to hear as we navigate this conversation of broken hearts. So it says this in Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. It says, when I, this is Paul's words to the church at Ephesus, that, by the way, he helped launch. This is not just some people he found out were gathering. He's like, hey, I'm going to write them a letter. This is the church that he was personally invested in, and he's writing to encourage them. And he says this, when I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Now all glory to be to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Can we pray this morning for God's word? Lord, I love you today and I thank you for who you are. You know every heart, you know every person, you know every story, you know every dynamic that's in this room and represented here today. It's not by sheer coincidence that this message is being spoke for those in the room. So Jesus, today, would you make yourself known? Would you reveal the depths of your love and the truth of your word and help us to be responsive? And I pray our appetites, our heart will not be too full with the things that are not of you, so we can receive what you have for us today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I've already said, Paul is writing to a church he helped launch. And the thing that I think is so incredibly profound as I was reading in one of the Bibles that I've had, it says he's writing to encourage them in their pursuit of Jesus. And I love this piece for us today. It says to hang in there even when the brokenness makes them feel hopeless. Have you ever had a hopeless moment? You feel hopeless? Oftentimes it can be attributed to brokenness or challenges in our lives. Whenever I face a hardship, whenever I face stress, whenever I face overwhelming circumstances, what happens? I spiral into hopelessness if I'm not careful. I go to a place of despair, wondering if I can even get out of the pit that I feel like I'm in. Is there light at the end of this tunnel? And I love that Paul is writing these words in Ephesians chapter 3 for us today, and much in the same heartbeat and passion, is to help us in the midst of brokenness to have hope. It doesn't mean our circumstances change, but it means in the midst of our circumstances, because of the love of God displayed through Jesus, given a deeper understanding for us today by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can walk with hope in the midst of hardship. That's the hope we cling to. That's the truth we get, and that's what Paul is saying to us today. So as I take a few moments to kind of unpack a few thoughts for us today as we talk about this, I just want to quickly jump in and highlight some of the things that are worth remembering. The first one is this in verse 14 to 16. It says, when I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray, and if you have a Bible, I want you to underline this. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources. The worst thing about trial and hardship is it takes my focus off of who God is, and I forget who he is. I forget what he has. I forget what he's able to do. So what Paul is doing in Ephesians 3 for us today is reminding us of who God is and the fact that he has unlimited, glorious resources. He doesn't come to an end. Oh, sorry, my time for you is expired. Sorry, my funds for you are expired. He is unlimited in his glory. He's unlimited in his resources. So Paul is reminding you and I today, we don't come to a God who's half there. We don't come to a God who can meet us most of the way through our trial and hardship. We don't come to a God who's empty and powerless in the face of circumstance. We come to a God who's unlimited in his resources and glory to meet us where we need him to meet us. If that doesn't challenge and encourage you today, I don't know what will, because who God is far greater than the greatest challenge we will ever have. That's the God we come to. He's not limited. There is no challenge, no heartbreak, no circumstance greater or more powerful than the God we serve. You can't name one because none exist. And I get riled up at this because this is something I wish I would remember every day of my life. But I'm human. I'm broken. I get distracted by the circumstances around me. And I wish that I had this message every morning I wake up to rile me up and remind me of who God is. But I'm thankful today that I not only have the Holy Spirit, but I have the Word of God to remind me. Side note, that's why it's so important to be in Scripture daily. Paul is reminding you and I of who God is. And he doesn't just stop there. He's not just sitting on his throne and saying, hey, check me out. Look how cool and how powerful and how unlimited I am. Paul is reminding you that that's the God who will empower us in giving us inner strength through his Spirit. He's not passive, he's active. He's not complacent, he's engaged. He's fighting for you, not against you. He's not some God who's like, man, that was a really tough situation. You'll get him next time, tiger. He's a God who says, I'm going to give you everything you need through the work and the empowerment of my Holy Spirit so you can stand firm, so you can endure, so you can have hope in the midst of a hopeless situation. Cling to God. Paul is reminding us today, no matter what your circumstance is today, no matter what the result of a Super Bowl is today, I know there's some Patriots fans in here. Shots fired. No matter what you face, we serve a God who's bigger, more powerful, and greater than we could ever hope or imagine. And he's for us, not against us. And I'm thankful for that reminder today as we talk about these conversations. When we remember this, and I love this in verse 17, it says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts. And I want you to circle the next four words, as you trust in him. Sorry, five words, just kidding. Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. No doubt there's many of us in the place today, we have a party that we're already thinking about in a few hours. No doubt you already have a place you're going to. No doubt you have people maybe coming over today. One of the things I've told my wife about life group for us is, or she's told me, sorry, it's the opposite, that it's really good that we host a life group in our house because it means our house gets cleaned every week. It's true. I'm not always the most helpful. I'm working on it, babe. But here's the crazy thing. We put a lot of work in to getting our houses ready for a party or for company or for guests to come over. Sometimes we'll even kick our kids out of their room so that way our guests have a place to stay. But can you imagine having and hosting someone to your house and they come into the entryway and say, okay, can you just stay at the entryway? You have people coming over to watch Super Bowl today. Hey, you've moved the TV right into the entryway. You've brought all the food into the entryway. But I just want us to hang out right here in the entryway. The rest of my house isn't clean already. I forgot to vacuum. I forgot to clean the bathroom. I forgot to pick up the dirty sock for my kids. Actually, it's my husband in the corner.
So can we, we're just going to hang out right in the entryway. And I don't know if your entryway was like my house. My house is like the entryway is maybe about this big. It's got like a little half wall, my son's cute cubbies with all the Legos and the piano. So we're just going to hang out right here. That's ridiculous, isn't it? No one does that. And if you do that, come talk to me afterwards. I'll tell you, that's not what to do. No one invites someone just to the entryway of their home. They invite them and give them access to the majority of the house. No doubt some of us have taken a bunch of the kids' stuff and shoved it in a closet and shut and locked the door so no one has access to that. You tell the kids running around the house, hey, every room is available except my bedroom because that's where I threw all the other stuff to create space. But we create an environment where we welcome people in and give them access to the majority, if not all of our house, right? But why do we do the opposite with Jesus? Why do we say, man, God, I need you to meet me here, but here you can have the entryway? I would venture to say there's a couple reasons. One, we believe the lie that says we have to figure things out and we have to clean a mess up before we let Jesus come in. We need a cleaning lady or a cleaning service to come and take care of our hearts before we let Jesus come in because we're too embarrassed or ashamed of what's in our hearts. And I'm here to tell you today, God in his unlimited resources and glory and power and love is the cleaning service. He doesn't look at the condition of your heart and be like, oh my goodness, I did not know what I was getting into. Hello, shoot. Hey, I'm busy, gotta go. No, he sees the mess of your heart. He's like, I wanna transform that. I wanna clean that. He doesn't blush at what's going on in your heart. Jesus paid it all. He laid his life down so he could not just have access, but he can bring freedom and deliverance and healing. That's who Jesus is. He doesn't expect you to have your heart cleaned before you come to him. He expects you to come to him with a dirty heart and a broken heart so he can heal, redeem, and restore. That's the God we serve. He's not embarrassed by you. He wants more for you. But yet we come into conversations of our heart, of brokenness, of tension, of lies, of the enemy that we believed. And we believe the lie that says you're too messy. Sorry, Jesus doesn't have time for you. Get your act together, figure some things out, read the Bible more, pray more, give more, serve more, connect more, do more, and then maybe Jesus will put you on his calendar. Jesus has cleared his entire calendar just for you. He doesn't care about the condition of your heart except to want to transform it, to bring healing and deliverance to it. That is who Jesus is. When I had you underline those five words, that's what it comes down to. The challenge of hospitality is this. You're giving people access to your home. But you're guarding who comes into your home. Unless you're a life group leader, sometimes it doesn't always work that way. Jesus, who loves you like crazy, just wants to meet you where you are. You may think your heart is too messy, but he doesn't blush, he doesn't shy away. He comes to clean the mess and to heal so you could live the life he called and died for you to live in him and him alone. When you invite Jesus in and trust him with your whole heart, his love then fills the space abundantly. Abundantly. That doesn't mean to barely minimum. Doesn't mean half full. It means overflowing. His love is that extravagant. Paul's prayer continues, may you have power to understand. I love this because it's a journey you and I as followers of believers on, followers of Jesus. It says, as all God's people should, you and I who follow Jesus in this room, you will never arrive, but you're always called to pursue. You will never fully understand the depths of God's love, the extravagance of God's love, the sheer magnitude of God's love, but you are called to always strive to understand. Grow 1% more tomorrow than you are today of understanding God's love for you. Grow 1% the next day. We are called to continue to pursue understanding what? How wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. I love what the study Bible notes say about this passage. It says this, as God's love is total, says Paul. It reaches every corner of our experience, every nook and cranny. Even when you got that dirty sock, even when you have the garbage hid, even when you got the kids' toys that they don't ever like to clean up, even though you tell them 100 times, he meets every nook and cranny of our hearts. God's love is wide. It covers the breadth of our own experience, and it reaches out to the whole world. God's love is long. It extends throughout our lives and into eternity. God's love is high. It rises to the heights of celebration and elation. God's love is deep. It reaches to the depths of discouragement, despair, and even death. And this last thought that it says this, when you feel shut out or isolated, remember that you can never be lost in God's love. There are a lot of causes to broken hearts in our lives. There's many of the different things we're navigating here in this space. Marriages is a big one. There are marriages that are in the room, and I don't know your stories, I just know because the Holy Spirit in praying and prepping this message has reminded me and brought to my heart, there are marriages in the room that are struggling. There are marriages in the room where you have believed the lie that says what you have is what you're going to get, and there's nothing more you're going to get. Because two different people, that's who they are, that's how it is. So what you've experienced is what you're going to get, but we forget that God is the one who ordained marriage. We forget that God is the one who created marriage. Then in Genesis, when he created Adam, he said it's not good for man to be alone, so he created Eve out of the rib of Adam because it wasn't good for him to be alone. So we've believed that our marriages as they currently are, that's the best it's going to get. So in the lack of love that we experience in our marriage, we've pursued other things. We've pursued love stories and novels or website and pornography to fill the gap of what we feel is missing in our marriage. But I'm here to tell you that God wants to redeem your marriage. He wants to challenge your marriage. He wants to let you experience everything he intended when he created marriage between a man and a woman. He created this. And there are some of us in the room, we don't believe that we're going to experience anything more than what we've got. Can I be honest with you? That's where God's love wants to meet you. That's where God's love wants to free you from addictive behaviors, from bad expectations and lies of the enemy that say you're not going to get anything else because he is the one who created and orchestrated marriage. There's some of us in the room, we have hurt from our parents. We have father wounds. And I love that in verse 14, Paul reminds at the very beginning, he says, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. I had a good father, but the love of God the Father is far greater than the love of my earthly father. You will never experience the love from a parent that's better than God's love for you as his child. God's love wants to meet you in the midst of that wound and bring deliverance and freedom and affirmation and purpose and courage to be who he called you to be, to live how he called you to live. Some of us in the room, we are very aware of what next weekend is. I remember when I was in college, single, I used to call it Singles Awareness Day. But some of us in the room feel this weight. We feel the tension of being single and just wanting to start a family. We forget that God is unlimited in his resources and glory. He has the best in mind for you. That your season of life as being single is not purposeless, but that God is big enough to meet you in it. But sometimes we forget because what's in front of us feels really, really challenging and hard. I have a list of things that we can go on to about church hurt. There's people in the room that you're here just by the grit of your teeth because you've been hurt by other churches or maybe church staff or church or people who call themselves Christians that have not represented the love of Jesus well. And can I just be honest with you? I'm imperfect, but I'm sorry that we miss it sometimes. But I'm thankful that God is not defined by his people, but God's love surpasses and transcends the love of his people. That he wants to meet you in the midst of the hurt and the brokenness. Fill in the blank. Where are you broken today? The love of God is so extravagant, he wants to meet you in it to bring healing and transformation so you have hope. Let me be honest, this isn't a magic wand. I wish so badly it was a magic wand. I wish I could have everybody line up who has brokenness and I could just wave the Bible over them and all of a sudden they'd be like, hey, cool, I'm awesome now. That's not how it works. But here's what I'll tell you, that God's love is so deep, so profound, so extravagant, that even in the midst of the hard things, there's still hope and peace and confidence in who he is. See, the truth is this, when we allow God's love to fill our hearts, we are able to stand firm no matter what comes. Well, that's really cliche, Aaron. I think I have that knit on a pillow somewhere before. Good, it's true. May the things that are true never become dull and gray. May the things that are true never become cliche for us. But may we always find hope in who God is and what his word says, because the truth is this. When we allow God's love to fill our hearts, we can stand firm no matter what circumstances bring. We can walk in the hope and the confidence that he is working in all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. We can walk in the confidence of Psalm 34 that says, where'd it go? 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. We can hold tightly to 2 Corinthians 4:7-8. It says, we know we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. Praise God for that. It says, we are hard pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but I get up again. No, but we are not destroyed. I had to put one in there, right? But we're not destroyed. Yes, trials come. Yes, hardships are gonna happen. But thanks be to God for the depth and power of his love, that I will not be shaken. Because greater is he who's in me than he that is in this world. I will cling to what's true. So what do we do then, Aaron? That's great. Rah, rah. It doesn't change this. We must allow God access to our entire hearts. We must. Because we've relied on ourselves for way too long, and we're stuck in the cycle of hopelessness, cycle of despair. And God's love is given to us to transform our hearts so we can live the life and life abundant that Jesus came to bring. It doesn't change the hardship sometimes, but I tell you what, there is a difference in navigating a hardship apart from Jesus and navigating hardship with Jesus as my rock. Come hell or high water, I get to stand firm because of who he is, not because of me. And I'm so thankful that God cares so deeply and so powerfully for us that he wants to meet us in our broken heart, not just bypass it. We must allow Jesus access to our whole hearts. And here's what I want to do. As I was praying for today, I felt called back to like my youth ministry days, where I'd have so much time in a gathering. I'd get my leaders rolling their eyes at me. Aaron, you went long again. Yep, I did, but I had time. But I've asked our prayer team to be ready at the end of our gathering when we dismiss, that if you want extended prayer for some things that the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now, we will have some available, some people available. But what I want to do is I just want to ask you a question today. If you're here today and you would say, man, the Holy Spirit's really hitting me, can you just put your hand up? Because I've been praying for you. I was standing on the stage yesterday. I said, okay, God, who needs prayer today? I wish I had all the time in the world. But I'm thankful I was reminded in worship multiple times this morning. Aaron, I don't need your words. They just need Jesus. Anybody else need prayer this morning? I'm going to pray for you. We're going to continue on and dismiss our gathering here in a minute, but I've got prayer team that have been available and will be available if you want extended prayer. But I would be foolish to think I could pass on from an opportunity for Jesus to meet you in your seat, because he desires to meet you in your seat. So Jesus, I thank you today for every heart in the room, but every hand that was raised. Lord, I don't know their stories or circumstances. I don't know where the hardness of their hearts has been. But God, what I am thankful for today is that Jesus, you are the sledgehammer to break through on the hardest concreted heart in the room. And we just need you. So in light of my words, Holy Spirit, I thank you. You've already been working and marking. I pray right now that you would bring clarity, you would bring healing, that you would bring relief in the name of Jesus. I pray hearts that were once hard-hearted or discouraged or in despair, I pray today would be a new day where they would find hope, they would find a peace that they could never explain, that there would be a radical encounter because of who you are, not because of some words from a speaker. So Jesus, move and have your way as you see fit, because this is all about you. And God, I pray for every other person in the room. I thank you for who you are today. I thank you that in our highest heights and our lowest lows and our widest throes, Jesus, your presence is that extravagant. Your love is that extravagant to meet us in every moment, in every situation, in every circumstance, in the highs, the lows, and the wides. God, I thank you today for your grace, your mercy, and your power. Would you guard us? Would you mark us and help us to be the people that you called us to be, that you died for? Surround us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.